G8 and His Battle Aces, Squadron of Corpses, by Robert Hogan, Chapter 3. The Living Corpse. But the strangest part of all that weird unnaturalness about the German pilot could not be seen. It could only be sensed by smell. An odor came from him, strange and uncanny. It wasn't the stench of decayed flesh, but rather as if, when he moved, someone opened the door of a dank, underground cell that reeked with mold and age and decay. G8's first instinct was to turn and run from the horrible spectacle. To run as far as his legs would carry him. With a gigantic effort he got control of himself, forced his brain to work. Everything might depend on his next move. These artillerymen who stood around horrified must not know the full significance of this ghastly thing. He turned his head. Out of the corner of his eyes he could see Bull Martin's powerful legs shaking a little at the knees. Nippy didn't show a single sign of fear, but he had the most puzzled expression on his face that G8 had ever seen. G8 spoke again. Shouted a command to an artillery lieutenant who stood staring at the German pilot, as though his eyes would pop out of his head any moment. Get me an ambulance at once. The artillery officer merely stared at him, seemed almost too horrified to move. G8 stepped before him instantly. Wham! His open palm flashed through the air and caught the artillery lieutenant with a stinging blow across the face. Then, in a voice loud enough so that every man in the circle could hear, G8 shouted, "Are you deaf? What are you standing there gaping for? Something has happened to this German. Perhaps a bullet in some part of his brain has made him like that. I said I want an ambulance, get me one instantly." The officer spun round and trotted off on wobbly legs. He was still too petrified with fear to think of ordering one of his men to have the ambulance sent. G8 whirled to the rest of the artillerymen. "Well, what are you gawking at?" he demanded. "Haven't you even seen a German prisoner before? Get back to your posts." The men turned uncertainly. Then, one by one, they struck out across the field, the way they had come. G8 stepped back and faced his battle aces. "Come here, Nippy," he said. "We're going to walk this crazy Jerry over to the road and wait for the ambulance. Bull, you follow behind. If he starts anything, let him have it." It wouldn't do any good," Bull stammered. "And my cousin's book said you couldn't kill these birds after they've been brought back to life."
"Yeah," said G8.
"What do you mean, back to life? If this guy is alive, he's a pretty poor specimen. Personally, I'd rather be dead than in his shoes."
"But, I tell you," Bull began again.
"Shut up," snapped G8. "Do what you're told. Come on, Nippy." All this time the German had been standing motionless, except for a slight movement of his head. There had been a very, very little movement of his eyes, but they continued to hold that blurred, glassy, unseeing look that chilled the very marrow of G8's bones. Every word that G8 uttered was an effort, every movement a struggle. When he walked he had a constant fight to keep his legs from trembling. He stepped to the left side of the German now. Nippy went to his right. G8 grasped the arm of the botch firmly and almost let go of it at once. Perhaps it was his imagination, perhaps not. But it felt as if the flesh on that arm under the sleeve wasn't alive, wasn't firm. A little like rotted meat that was ready to drop from the bone might feel. Somehow he kept his hold. Propelled the man with little effort toward the road that skirted the field where they had landed. They reached it and stopped. He had heard Bull coming behind him. He didn't turn to look at him. It wasn't going to help his own morale to see this big two-fisted yank going to pieces under the strain of something they couldn't explain. Then Nippy spoke for the first time.
"What's the idea, taking this guy to the hospital?" he demanded.
"I'm not," G8 said. "That was just a stall before the artillerymen. I hope they believed me when I said a slug had probably done something to his brain." He shot a questioning glance at the German. His head had moved again very slightly. But yet there was no sign of interest nor intelligence in the stare of those eyes.
"I wouldn't trust this guy any farther than I can throw a white elephant," Nippy ventured.
"I'm not trusting him," G8 said. "It won't do any harm for him to know what's going on. He won't get a chance to do much damage now." The sound of a jolting meat wagon drew near, accompanied by the sputter of a four-cylinder motor running on 3-8. Grasped the arm of the German and pulled him back. He jerked his head to Nippy. They walked the Jerry Ace behind a clump of bushes and G8 left him. "I'll take care of this," he said. "I don't want the driver to see him." He stepped to the road again. The ambulance drew up and stopped as G8 hailed him. The driver poked his head around the corner of the box.
"Got a German here," G8 said.
"Captured. Drive us to the nearest prison camp." The driver saluted and started to get down. His face had a puzzled expression.
"Prison camp," he objected.
"But this here is an ambulance. I never took no Germans to a prison camp in this meat wagon."
"Well, you're taking one now," G8 said.
"Get back in your seat. We'll take care of loading in the hiney." The driver obeyed unwillingly. G8 returned to Nippy. He grasped the German again by that left arm, which sent chills up his spine, and together they walked toward the rear of the ambulance.
They sat the German on one of the stretchers. He slumped there, as though in a stupor. But at the same time there was an uncanny rigidity about his body. Bo followed at a safe distance. I think I'll sit up with the driver, if it's all the same to you, he ventured. G8 nodded. Okay, he agreed in a low voice. But one peep out of you about this and I'll brain you. Nippy and G8 climbed to the back step of the ambulance. G8 shouted an order to the driver and they rumbled south, down the road. For a long time they jolted and jerked along. Peering around the corner of the ambulance top, G8 saw a village looming far ahead. He remembered now. That was Torsen. It was well behind the lines, and there was a prison camp there for captured Germans. A few minutes later the ambulance stopped before the gate of a high, triple barbed wire fence. Guards brought arms to port. G8 led the German out of the ambulance. A Yank captain, who seemed to be in charge of the prisoners, came up at the very moment the Jerry Ace stepped out. Good heavens! He exclaimed. What have you? G8 came very close to him. In a voice that was lowered to a whisper he snapped, I am G8. I've got to get this man into the prison as quickly as possible. Not a word of this to anyone. The captain nodded. But he seemed unable to take his eyes from that enemy figure which stood, like a sleepwalker, between Nippy and G8. Hurry! G8 repeated. The captain moved toward the gate. There was a jangle of keys and the outer portal opened. It closed again after they passed through. G8 could feel the staring eyes of the guardsmen on his back. They pushed onto the second gate. The captain opened it and they passed through the third. The prison for captured Germans was surrounded by three impregnable, barbed wire fences. Around the outer fence guards kept vigil at intervals of 100 feet. It's impossible for a man to escape from this prison, isn't it, Captain? G8 asked. The captain nodded. Yes, he said. We'd think so. At least, we've never had one break out yet. Good, said G8. I hope that record continues. The captain nodded again. It will, he ventured, if we continue to have human beings as inmates. But this creature, he jerked his head toward the figure of the German ace. Never mind that, snapped G8. Open the next gate and we'll push him through. And listen, Captain, give orders to any of the guards who may have seen him, that not a word of this is to get out. Nothing of what they have seen here under penalty of death. Death? Repeated the captain. Good Lord. You mean just what I said. And that comes from the big chief, himself or Will, as soon as I can get to him. The captain's hands were shaking as he stood at the open third gate. G8 propelled the German gently, but firmly through the opening. Then he dosed the wire gate on him. Well, breathe Nippy, that's that. What? G8 said. I came here to see this. I want to know what kind of a reception this bird is going to get from the other prisoners. It's merely possible that this whole thing is a trick. For perhaps a minute the German ace stood inside the gate without moving. He seemed to be staring straight ahead of him sightlessly. Other inmates of the camp got up from benches or came out of their quarters to stare at the newcomer. Then, as their eyes lighted on that pallid, unnatural figure, their faces blanked to an ashen hue. They stared with eyes popping. Jaws dropped. G8's eyes were scrutinizing every German he could see. But they didn't seem to notice him. There wasn't an eye in that prison camp which wasn't on the horrible spectacle of a living corpse standing before them. Presently, as though prompted by some unseen power, the German ace moved. He began to walk toward one of the barracks. Walked with that same blood-chilling, slow, stiff step that G8 had never seen used by a human being. Men moved away from him, as the dank, musty odor of his body assailed their nostrils. The door of the first barracks was empty. But before the strange apparition reached it, a German in infantry garb appeared on the threshold. A look of ghastly horror flashed over his face. A wild scream belched from his lips. Gott im Himmel! Am I crazy? He howled. You are von Greil. But you're dead. To be continued.